Yesterday, I should have shown you this little historical diagram about the dates of the kings that Isaiah is ministering in their reign. So I'll just do it this morning. Unfortunately, I didn't get the OHP set up yesterday. But you remember from chapter 1, verse 1, that there are four kings' reigns during which Isaiah ministers. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, and Uzziah reigned from 792 to 740 BC, a very long reign. But for the last 8 years of his reign, 748 to 740, he was a leper. You remember he went into the temple to try and offer sacrifices, and God's anger came upon him, and he was struck with leprosy. And so he became an outcast from 748 to 740, and his son Jotham was co-regent with him for 8 years. Then on Uzziah's death in 740, Jotham reigned another 8 years to 732. And then from 732 to 715 is the reign of King Ahaz. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the reign of Ahaz and one major event from that reign. The figure 722 in brackets there is the figure when the northern kingdom, called in Isaiah's book Israel and also called Ephraim, which is another name for the northern kingdom, when Israel and Ephraim fell to the Assyrians, and the city of Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom, was conquered. 722 was the end of the northern kingdom during Ahaz's reign. And then the fourth king, which we will look at tomorrow morning, is Hezekiah, the author of that famous book of the Bible, from which every text that you thought ought to be in the Bible but isn't is found. The book of Hezekiah, from 715 to 686, that very long reign, again, 30 years, during which he was king of Judah. So those are the four kings that we're looking at, and this morning we're here in the Ahaz period. Obviously, Isaiah's prophecy goes from 740 to 686 at the latest. What was going on in the world during that period? Well, just a few names that we come across in terms of the rest of the Old Testament. The world power was Assyria. The emperor at this time is Tiglath-Pileser III, known to his friends as Tiggy-Pul, and called Pul in the Old Testament. He had the vassals, that is to say the northern kingdom, which was under King Menahem, and Ahaz, were vassals of the Assyrians, for different reasons. We don't need to go into that. But it's just to show you that this is all set in a real historical context, and that Ahaz is paying tribute to the key man, Tiglath-Pileser, and of course he wants to ensure that his kingdom, Ahaz's kingdom, remains strong, even though the Assyrians are mopping up the whole of the Middle East. Tiglath-Pileser was followed by Shalmaneser. You'll find he's referred to in 2 Kings 17, 3 to 6. He was followed by Sargon, who comes in 2 Kings 17, verse 6. And then the other name that we need for Isaiah is the name of Sennacherib, who is from 705 to 681. And we'll come across Sennacherib tomorrow morning when we look at Hezekiah's reign, because the big event there is the siege of Jerusalem and the miraculous deliverance that God gave his people, which is the record of Isaiah 36 and 37, which is tomorrow morning's exposition passage. So we're in real time, real history, real empires, real people, real battles, and these issues, though they're so distant to us in terms of our connection with them, once we begin to think about our culture, our time, our battles, our issues, and the continuing nature of God, the unchanging, faithful God, the continuing needs of humanity, it's not such a big bridge to walk from Isaiah's book into the 21st century. That's what we're going to try to do as we unpack the text and as we look together at its implications. So that was really yesterday revised slightly, and this morning we go to our